DavidRenicky.com. Love the website. Love the man even better. He's with me at the moment. Hello, David.
Good to be back, Bill Kay. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, fantastic. A bit worried about this, mate. The moon shrinking and getting wrinkly. Isn't that something we thought about when the moon was actually made of cheese back in the day?
Well, this, every time I look in the mirror, this brings back terrible memories. Yeah. Oh,
I wouldn't call you moonface, David. Come on.
No, but the wrinkles are there. it's just a fact of life that when you get old, you get a little bit more wrinkly. You just don't, you don't look the same as when you did when you're 18. You might think you do, but you don't. That's the same with the moon. The moon is now wrinkling. It's getting crusty, and that crust is starting to break up, Bilko.
Okay.
What we're finding is some of the little moonquakes we're hearing, some of the rumblings on the moon are the result of the crust itself doing that. Now, the moon's also getting smaller, believe it or not. When we left the moon there for all the Apollo missions, we left seismic equipment, measuring gear on the moon. We know a lot more about it than we did when we started. We know the moon's moving away from the Earth a little bit. But we also know the moon's a bit smaller. They've looked at the history of the moon, and based on what we can see, doing some retrospective analysis on it, astronomers have come up with the opinion that about 100 million years ago, that's not long, that's only yesterday, in the cosmic scheme of things.
Is that how old the moon is, 100 million years?
No, yeah, the moon's 4 billion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but in the last 100 million years, we've noticed that the moon is sizably smaller, about 50 metres, and it keeps slimming down as the surface continues to develop these wrinkles. It's just a normal process, but it shows us one thing, that the bodies in the solar system, including our Earth, are living, breathing things. They're still developing. They're moving. They're not static bits of rock where people live and run around and do silly things like vote.
You're probably happy Rob Oakeshott's gone from your neck of the woods.
Oh, I'm happy with a lot of things. I'm one of the election officials up here.
Okay.
And it's funny, you know, just to digress for a moment.
Yeah.
Seeing, well, at the end of the night, you've got to look at the votes and count them, but you get to see what people write on them, you know.
Do you see the incriminating doodle pictures and people saying, vote for me and that sort of thing?
Oh, you see a lot of things there. You know, the common one, Mickey Mouse, or the government's a rip-off, or why do you make me do this?
Yeah.
And other ones that I can't mention.
We had candidate posters here on the side of the road with pictures of Daffy Duck. So...
Like,
anyway.
You know, it was just a lot of fun to see, you know, some people, the way they approach it, a lot of them came in, when you mark their name off, you think that you're extracting a tooth. You know, they just didn't want to be there. But all in all, it's all over and done with. We've got a new year coming up too. The rest of the year is going to be all new because we're new government. But there's a lot of things happening in space now, and it's good to see some of these new entrepreneurs coming into it.
Yeah, well, SpaceX is now building a Starship rocket. I mean, what's this? What makes this different from any other rocket?
This is something that, you know, we've been wanting to do for a long time. Plans to build a Starship. Yep. This is SpaceX, a rocket being built in Florida that can carry up to 100 passengers.
No, like the Enterprise of old.
Yeah, now this is an interesting idea. It's a reusable Starship. He's called it a Starship. It used to be the BFR.
Now, Starship sounds better because we can relate to that because of all these space shows.
Yeah. Well, Elon Musk, for a joke...
Big friendly rocket, really.
Big rocket. He's now changed that, but this is the one that's going to take people to the moon and Mars and beyond there. Huge rocket. I mean, nothing like this has ever been seen or built before. The Starship will include a thing called a Raptor engine. There are seven of these that are going to power the main Starship. And the super heavy one, the bigger one, will have 31 of them. So it's a multiple bunch of engines there. I mean, it's pretty dangerous when you get all these engines together, you know.
Now, so is it going to lift off from the Earth, or does it launch from orbit?
Lift off from the Earth, just like an ordinary rocket will. But it's going to carry a lot more people. It's going to take cargo and people to the moon. And then this is the one that hopefully Musk wants to use as his settlement machine, the settlement rocket. It's going to take up to 100 people at a time to drop them on the planet's surface, on Mars, and let them stay there and work the land and develop it and try and live there, you know.
Mm.
Early days, but the idea is still there. And this is interesting too. Musk has taken a booking from a Japanese entrepreneur with lots and lots of cash. Now, I'm going to have a shot at the name, Yusaku Mawaza.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. He's booked a round-the-moon Starship trip in 2023. He's going to take a whole bunch of his mates in a rocket, and he wants Musk to shoot him to the moon and round and come back again.
Yeah, whatever deal he's going to crunch, I'm sure it will go his way, especially with a trip like that.
Yeah, good idea. But all these things are ideas. They're all on paper at the moment. They're all under development. But we're going to see a whole resurgence, a whole new change in the leadership and the way that we do space in the 2020s.
Yeah, and also on DaveRenahy.com, not just talking about rockets and starships, but there are plans, of course, to make flight here a little bit faster, up to Mach 5. Is that the aim?
Yeah. What's the longest you've flown in a plane?
Oh, like I've never been overseas, but I hear, England's about 20 hours or something?
How would you like to do it in 4 or 5?
Thank you very much. Can we do that
now? No, not now, but we will be. Look, there's a new aerospace company put together called Hermaeus. These are a group of people who've got a lot of money, and they got the backing of people like SpaceX and Blue Origin to fall back on. Look, in January 29, the company's raised $140 million to build what's called an Overture airliner. This is a space plane, a commercial space plane, that'll fly in the mid-2020s. And, break the times down from here to Perth, 1 hour.
Well, Mach 5, surely that would take it to lower Earth orbit. Would it go that high? Is that what we're talking about?
Mach 5 is pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's going to get you to Los Angeles in about 3 hours' time.
Yeah. That will revolutionise, suddenly you can now live on the East Coast, work in Perth, or you could work in LA and come home for the weekend. Yeah. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. These are new hyperplanes. The word aeroplane won't exist. Jet engines won't be commonplace. Anything like that, it's going to be, these are the new engines being developed and the new power, push them up to Mach 5. Mach 10 is even conceivable. Some of the engines now that are on drawing boards could probably reach that. What it means is that in the next decade, no part of the world is going to be any further away from anybody than 3 or 4 hours flight.
We'll truly be a global society.
We will be. You think it's all pie in the sky, think again. Virgin Group and Japan Airlines have pre-ordered 30 of them.
Already, wow. Mm. And this looks to be getting to, to the airwaves, in the next 10 years?
They say 2020, mid-2020s.
Okay. Yeah, right.
They are saying, look, be careful here. We could see the end of the 20s where we're moving at Mach 5. So it's going to be developed over the next decade. And I guess what we're seeing is a new type of resurgence in aircraft, much as it was when the first aeroplanes flew and the first commercial flights, were put forward to the public there. So it's a brand new world, future out there, it's a whole new world. And the way people will move and travel around this planet in the latter half of this century is going to be different than what we're doing now.
I love it. More at DaveRenahy.com. Before you go, David, a little side story I've noticed too on your website. Look, if people are looking for something to fill the hours during retirement, astronomy is a good way to go. You've proved it every single day, haven't you, really?
Yeah, it's what we do. Most of our customers, not customers, but
clients.
Most of the people who come along to what we do, usually the older folks and retirement people. I think the advent of the grey nomad has really created this. They want to go out and they want to go to these dark sky sites and have a look around, but people don't want to spend a lot of money on a telescope. They just want something simple and they're keen to have a look at the night sky. They've got the time now. So astronomy is a retirement hobby. It's not going to cost you much. All you need is a spotting scope. You can pick one up for $200 or $300. These are the sort of telescope that's very compact, fit into a small suitcase. They've got the legs, the tripod that extends, but they're pretty much like what you see shooters using when they're lying on the ground looking at a distant target.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a larger version of that. You don't need any background knowledge in astronomy. You've got an app on your iPhones or any smartphone that'll show you what's in the sky there.
Yeah, but a lot of people would rather be in the presence of someone like yourself who can explain what they're looking at and where to point these things. I mean, the app, it's nice to do it in company,
Yeah, that would be ideal, but it's not necessary now because you can't find things. But as you travel around, you're going to come in contact with groups like us and you can go there. But they're just looking. People now know that when you get out in the out past the city and you're heading out in between states, anywhere you want to go, any part of the country in Australia is beautiful. The closer you get to the centre, the better it is because there's virtually there's no light there. There's no pollution to worry about. The skies are just sparkling. So more and more people now we're seeing coming forward saying, want to buy a telescope. And they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're usually got a caravan hooked up, or they've got a motorhome. I just want to do a lot of people travelling around Australia now than ever before, by the way. Yeah. So when you pull up, you've got something you can just whip out at a moment's notice, put it on a tripod, have a gaze around the sky, and just kick back and toast marshmallows for the rest of your life.
You know, David, the other thing that shocked me when I turned 50 was not just the bowel scan procedure thing that turned up in the mail, was the fact that I'm now eligible for the 50 Up Club. What is that?
I don't know, but wait till the day comes when you get a letter from the government offering you an old age pension card.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm looking forward
to
that, Dave.
That's real fun. That's real fun.
All right. DaveAredighere.com talking about fun. There's plenty on the website. Till next week, David.
Talk to you then.